Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Kuf Lamatis, the 139th Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. And yes, if you're at this point, we are very close towards the end of the Book of Tehillim. This is a really incredible Mizmor. We'll see why in just a moment. Let's look at the structure first, as we always do. The first thing we're going to see is that it is 24 psukim long and is divided into two basic sections. The first section is 18 psukim long, which is generally on the theme of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and acknowledging Hashem's omniscience. And it can be actually subdivided into three sections of three. The first three sections of six. The first six psukim are about Hashem's knowledge, which includes everything. The next six psukim are Hashem's imminence in His creation. And the last six psukim in this section are the wonders of the creation of mankind. Then the second main section of this Mizmor is Psukim Yod Tes to Chaf Udalad, 19-24, in which the first four Psukim are really a curse of the evildoers, and the last two are a request for Hashem to search out the innards of the person who is narrating the Mishorer. It is worthwhile noting that in terms of content and structure, the Mizmor starts and ends off the same way. So it starts off with Le'Levatzech Le'David Mizmor. This is a for the conductor, a Mizmor to David, which is Hashem Chakartani V'teda, search me out to know. And it ends off, the second last pasuk is Chakrenin Kel V'da'at Levavi, search me out to know my heart. So it starts with off and ends off with the same bookends, which is the challenge that a person is, in a certain sense, opening themselves up for this audit from the divine. In fact, this Mizmor is very unique in the sense that the Ibn Ezra says, at the beginning of his introduction, he says, Zeh Mizmor Nichbad Me'od B'Darchei Hashem. It is very, very honored, it is very precious in the ways of knowing Hashem. Ve'ein be'ele ha'chamisha asfarim mizmor komohu. There is no other mizmor which is as precious as this mizmor. And therefore, as we begin this, although we're doing a very brief summary together, this really is a mizmor which requires a lot of work, requires a lot of understanding and investment to appreciate what the Ibn Ezra is talking about over here. Let's try to understand what the overall theme is. The theme seems to be that the Mishorer, the narrator, describes Hashem knows everything. Everything doesn't just mean to say every recorded action. It means to say even the thoughts before they happen. And he goes on to say, Hashem chakartani v'tayda, search me out and you will know. Ato yodata shifti b'kumi banto l'rei imen ha'machok. You see everything about me, Hashem. In fact, he feels Hashem's presence is so pervading that he cannot even run from Hashem. Wherever he goes, he finds Hashem. Where can I flee from you? I go to heaven, there you are. I go to the netherworld, and here you are. Notice, by the way, the differences in terms of the description of where the narrator believes he is himself. But this feeling of being surrounded and enveloped by Hashem, far from depressing the narrator, the Mishorer, it actually reinvigorates him to a state of Dveikus in Hashem. He says this deep feeling of gratitude from Hashem's wonders, Oidecho al kinara ois nifleisi, nifloim maasecho, v'nav shiyo da'as mod. You created so many wonders, he says, in Pasuk Yudalad. And my soul is full of thanksgiving and just understanding how incredibly encompassing you are. And because he feels this deep-seated sense of Dveikus, of closeness to Hashem, of connection to Hashem, there is this intolerance which of those who are evildoers, those who deny Hashem, which is why the end of the Mizmor Torah talks about Halei Masanecha Hashem Esno, I will hate those who hate you. V'yiskomomeko eskotot, I will fight those who in fact want to pick a battle with you, Hashem. And finally, he turns to Hashem, and it's like he starts. He begs Hashem to search out his thoughts and purify him in the way to find a good path. Unchaini b'derech olam, take me in the way of the world. One of the questions which arise in this Mizmor, what are the wonders of Hashem? When he talks about these incredible wonders that he sees and he thanks Hashem for, like in Pasuk Yudalad, what are these wonders? So the Da'at Mikra, Rav Amos Chacham, suggests that these are specifically the ideas, the theological axioms of Judaism, the idea of Bechira, that on the one hand a human being has the free will to make a decision for the good and for the not good, and also the idea that Hashem has a plan. Yediyah, or perhaps Gezeira, different ways of framing it. You know, one more of a passive, one more is a more active involvement of Hashem in history and in action. Those are two axiomatic principles. These are two Ikrei Emunah, as clearly codified. However, at the same time, how do the two coexist? If Hashem has the destination for the world to be getting from point A to point B, and human beings have free will, and a human being decides that they want to move the world or their community to position C that wasn't on the original plan, then how do the two coexist? And that's something very hard for us in the flatlands to understand this. You know, the example is, you know, you have an individual who's a stick figure on a page. You're trying to explain to the stick figure how to understand a sphere. So you say, let's assume that the fellow's name is Stanley. You say, Stanley, I'd like to describe a sphere. A sphere is this round object. So he says, oh, that's great. And so Stanley draws a circle. He says, no, Stanley, that's a circle. This is a sphere. So he says, well, what's the problem? He says, well, it's equidistant from the radius is equidistant from the center at all points. He says, yeah, that look, my circle is such. He says, no, it sticks out in all ways. And he says, yeah, it sticks out in all ways. And he says, look, Stanley, you live in two dimensions, so you can only understand things in two dimensions. But I live in three dimensions. I'm trying to describe something to you which is beyond your purview of perspective. The same thing over here is this mizmor brings into context the idea that people do have responsibility for their actions, but at the same time, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows even the thoughts which are about to emerge in their minds. These two concepts are very hard for the human logic to be able to comprehend together, and that's what is the depth. That's what Ibn Ezra might be referring to in terms of the wonders of Hashem. And in terms of understanding the events behind this mizmor, Chazal actually said that this mizmor refers to Adam HaRishon. There are many verses over here which relate specifically to Adam HaRishon, like for instance, Pasuk Hei, Achar Vokerem Tzartani, Batosha Salayot Kapecha, we're going to see in a moment. You created me backwards in front and you put your hand over me. And if that's the case, it's almost all about the human condition. When you created this human, we see later on in the mizmor that Hashem created the human being under the ground and hewed him out of rock. And it's interesting that this is a description of the state of human beings, and therefore it relates to the theological question of how could it be that Hashem created a human being fallible to sin and then told them to have the free will not to sin? That's exactly the question that the mizmor is raising up. The Al-Sheikh points out that the Koteret, that in the end of the day, the introduction does mention, this is L'Amnatzeach Mizmor L'David, it is to David. And the Al-Sheikh says seamlessly, of course, we know that Adam HaRishon lived 930 years. He was supposed to live to 1,000 years. The 70 remaining years of his life were given in a certain sense, as a mashkon, as a collateral to David HaMelech's life, which was 70 years old. David, in a certain sense, was the continuation of the mission of Adam HaRishon, and he has also struggled with sin himself, which means to say that this is about the human condition itself as is expressed by this human being who in a certain sense is very much connected to the neshama of Adam HaRishon to start off with. That's what the Al-Sheikh says. Another avenue which is perhaps less explored in understanding this mizmor is that there are a few suggestions of false accusations made in this mizmor. So for instance, the idea of chakartani or chakira does sound like the legal process of cross-examining witnesses in court. Chakira is a process where you make sure that the witnesses are actually, their ideas shtim, that they work together. So when we talk about that, it might be the process of witnesses. In Pasuk Chof, Asher Yomrucha Lemizima, Nosa Lashavir Arecha. It's talking about people who bear falseness, sort of like the word Edim Zomemim, conspiring witnesses or who are bringing up false claims. If this is the case, it may be that the people that he is referring to, who are these evil people, are not just evil people in a vacuum. They are the people who conspire to plot and lay level terrible claims against the Mishorer, against the narrator. And therefore, when the narrator is asking Hashem to search out the thoughts of man, what he's also doing is he's saying, please dissolve the terrible, nefarious plots which don't seem obvious to any human being, but you, Hashem, you know this. Therefore, this could be attributed to many people, including David HaMelech in his own life, who had many false accusations leveled against him. It is also interesting to notice that Pasuk Beis, Ato Yodata Shifti V'Kumi, Banto L'Re'im E'Remachoik, Hashem, you know my goings, my covings, you know everything about me. Also, is similar to Melachim Beis, Perek Yotes, where the Navi, the prophet, is turning to son Cheriv, and as he turns outwards to him, he talks, so he gives a curse to him, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, Tzeischo V'Echo Yodati V'Es, his Ragzecho, Eli. So it seems similar, and it could be a reference to outward enemies like Sancheriv as an example. This mizmor does not appear in our Tefillim wholesale, but just to focus on one pasuk in the spotlight, and that is pasuk Hey, which is a very, very famous pasuk. The pasuk says Achar Vakerem Tzartani. There's many Gemaras which discuss this. One of those Gemaras is a Gemara to be found in Brachas itself, And the Gemara says a very fascinating suggestion. The Gemara is to be found in Brachos Samach Aleph Mud Aleph, where it says that Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar would say that in the account of Bereshis Perik Aleph, or based on this pasuk in Tehillim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created humankind day or du partsufin, two-faced, which meant to say that human male and female were not, the female was generated from the male, as is the version in Bereshis Beis, but it was rather they were back-to-back as one composite being split apart to be reunited, which means to say that the process of creation is composite creation splitting up and reuniting and fitting back together. That's what is happening over here. And the Gemara goes on to say, in other locations, in Sanhedrin, in Avodah Zarah, that what Hashem was, Vatoshes Alei Kapecha, the end of this pasuk is that a human being was so powerful, they could see from one side of the world to the other, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed his hand, so to speak, on him and was memayet him after his sin. After the sin, which is what the investigation of this mizmor is, Hashem minimized him. I do want to make mention, and to close with, there's a remarkable, remarkable Or HaChaim HaKadosh on this very pasuk, which is to be found at the beginning of Parshas Tazria. And he points out that the very creation of human beings, in a different way that the Gemara says it, was created Achar V'Kedem, at the end and at the beginning. Because on the one hand, the body of the human being was created at the end of creation, the end of the 6 days of creation. However, the nefesh, the neshama of the human being, which is an extension of the chelik elokam imal, of the divine presence, was created at the beginning, was part of the initial process of creation, which means the spiritual creation of humankind preceded, kedem. The physical creation of the human being was in fact later. This is very important. The reason why the Arachaim is talking about this in Parshas Tazria is he talks about the process of the development of a fetus. And he says that it works in a similar way. There's the physical and the spiritual part of creation, which means to say that there's the ideas that the thoughts that couples have together at the times of conception have an incredible impact on the spiritual development of a child. And even if there's not a child which is generated from a relationship, the thoughts themselves generate the creation of an neshama, even if that neshama may not have necessarily a guf. Where he suggests why that's when it says, by Avram and Sarah, v'anefesh asher asu v'charon, says the Orach HaMakolosh, refers to all the neshamas which are generated through their relationships, because that incredible power that Hashem gave to human beings, reflecting their very own creation, which is that at every time there is a relationship, there is a spiritual creation which is occurring, which is the kedem aspect of the relationship, even if there isn't an achar, even if there isn't necessarily a body which is connected to that spiritual creation process. That's a very remarkable and very powerful and very inspiring element which the Orach Chaim learns out of our pasuk, which is achar v'kedem tzartani na mizmor. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.